almost heaven. West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life was old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, blowing like a breeze. Country road, take me home to the place where I belong. West Virginia, Mount Mama, take me home. Country road.
Welcome, everybody. Are live from the Mountaineer Studios here in wild, wonderful West Virginia. I am so glad to be with you here today. We are live today. I mean, normally I am sitting here preparing a great story for you about life and liberty, faith and freedom, but today we are live and we have an incredible show for you today. If you've been with us over the past several weeks, you realize we went aboard a show, we covered a show a few weeks ago called Freedom's Nightmare, the true story of Harold, who grew up in East Germany. Well, today we're going to have a treat for you. Today we are going to have Harold live with us. He's going to share more about his life growing up as a communist, but also he's going to share with you some things that you will see the correlations of what we are actually seeing take place in our own country today. So this is a story today that will inspire you. It'll make you sit back. It'll make you think. And you can even call in if you want and be a part of the show. 844-5-CRUSADE. That's 844-5-CRUSADE. You know, My Story of America is a radio show that basically prompts folks to share their stories, because stories are powerful. They make up who we are as people, but they also share very important points. I've got a new book that's going to be launched here July 5th, Author of Liberty, which is the sequel to My Story of America, another 8 powerful stories. Now, today, we've just come through a great time here in West Virginia. We had our elections on Tuesday. And, of course, Donald Trump won the elections handily, and the people of West Virginia sent a clear message to Hillary Clinton that we really don't want any part of your crookedness, your lies, what you have to peddle here in our state. So that was great, you know, because as we say in West Virginia, we would rather be dead than communist red. So with that all said and done, let's get started with today. It's Conversation with a Communist here on My Story of America Radio. Clearly one out of the Twilight Zone. It is one which we need to take great interest, one we need to listen carefully, and one in which we need to pay close attention to what he shares. Because what he will share with us today will impact our lives, will impact our future, but more importantly, it'll impact the future of our children and our children's children. So today I want to welcome you to this episode of My Story of America Radio. I have my friend who will be joining us. Harold, are you there?
I'm here, and I'm thrilled to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you are more than welcome. I am so glad, and I know we've got a lot to cover, so we're going to get right into it today. Now, Harold, not only his story is in my book, My Story of America Radio, but I always say I've got the smaller version, because his actual true life story is in his book, which is called Freedom's Nightmare, which you can get that at Amazon as well, and we'll touch that a little later. But Harold, I just want you to go ahead and start sharing with folks your story.
Yeah, you know, it's not so easy to know where to start at first, but at the end, it comes to the point you introduced. I grew up in East Germany. I was raised in a, what I call usually a non-functional family. My biological father and my mother divorced when I was 4 years old, or five, I don't remember exactly. We were three kids from that, and then my mother married again, and there were another four kids, and my stepfather was a drunk. And so you get an idea how I have been raised.
Yeah, not the normal, typical, you know, two parents, two kids, you know, household.
No, by far not. And all of that you have to put into a dictatorial government system where every single part of your life is micromanaged into the bedroom, if you want. So I grew up and I was more morally and mentally formed by the communist government system through school and kindergarten than by my parents. And growing up in that system, when I was graduated from high school, I was a card-carrying member of the Communist Party.
You know, right there, Harold, I was just glancing here. In the communist, you know, the list of the goals by the communists, one of those goals is specifically is to get control of the schools and to take the parents out of the equation. So you actually experienced that.
Oh, yeah. I experienced that. And later on with my own kids, before we could leave that country in 85, we experienced the same there. And a quote out of the marriage document, you had to go, in addition to being married in a church, by law, you had to go in front of a government official and get your marriage documents there in addition. A marriage certificate from a church alone was not sufficient and not lawful. And in that document, there were written, I think, six or seven paragraphs as an instruction how you have to raise your kids, how you have to live your life as a socialist or as a part of this socialist communist society, instructions how you have to live. And one part was you have to raise your kids to become decent members fighting for the socialist cause for a worldwide unification of the workers' class. That was a directive in your marriage certificate. So, yeah, education from the earliest days on is one of the major goals in communist socialist society.
Wow, that is powerful. Anybody listening, listen carefully to what he's stating about those goals and about the education. This is why we advocate, you know, making sure you're involved in your children's education process. This is great, Harold. Go ahead and continue. You had graduated?
Yeah, I graduated. And as I said, I was a devout communist. I was a card-carrying member of the Communist Party. And I, when I went to college, I was a youth leader for the Communist Party, for the Communist Youth Organization, the hotbed of the Communist Party. I was a leader for which was called the Department of Agitation and Propaganda in our region, which was the most modern island of East Germany. It's today Germany's largest island. It is called the island Rügen. R-U-E-G-E-N, you can Google that and find it on Google Maps. It's a large island, and I was responsible for the training and education of other youth group leaders on that island, in that region. So that tells you how far I was into the communist ideology, although I had some crunches with the kind of the execution of that philosophy, because there was one major declaration of the East German Communist Party, and that was that the East German, the Republic of East Germany was called a German Democratic Republic, contrary to the West Germany, which was called a Federal Republic of Germany. The East German communists said they had freed or liberated the workers' class from the oppression of the capitalists and their greed. And all I could see in our daily life was that that liberation from the capitalist oppression and greed led to a permanent lack of all goods of the daily life, led to a oppression in form that you were not free to decide how you live your life, where you want to live, what you want to be educated in, so choosing your subject of study or your subject of education or where you want to live or what kind of work you do. That was not just your choice. No, you had to follow the instructions of the Communist Party. And if you did not agree with them and tried to leave the country, they would just kill you. So
listen here, folks. Listen carefully to what he's sharing with. This is not somebody that's you know, just thinking about these things or this possibly could happen. This is a man that not only lived through them, he was a part of them. This is what you call expert eyewitness testimony on an event. That is why when people, what we have in America today, where we have people, you know, clamoring behind Bernie Sanders and the socialism, you know, an avowed socialist, and they talk all these wonderful things. They do not, they have never lived under it. They have never experienced it. And Harold not only experienced it, he was a part of it. He is an expert on it. So please get your family, get your friends, get them here and listen. Harold, go on. This is great.
Yeah. So being one of those, in not just somebody who runs with the masses, but training and educating those who lead the masses, I knew exactly what was going on, and I was full-fledged in it. By side, these doubts I just explained. And I had experienced three times, actually, the attempt of our gracious Lord and God to get me out of that mindset. The first time was when I was asked to pump the organ in our church in that little village where I had grown up to the age of 14. And the story is in my book, so I don't want to go deep into it and waste the time here. The second time was when I got told the story of a small church in the center of Dessau, a middle-sized town in the middle of Germany, in I think it's Saxonia, you call that in English. The town was the home of the Junkers airplane manufacturing. Junkers, for those who are too young to know and remember and have not a good education in history, Junkers airplanes were one of the most advanced fighter aircrafts during World War II. And logically, the Americans and the British tried to bomb those manufacturing plants into oblivion to reduce the manufacturing of those fighter aircrafts. Now, the Germans, not stupid, separated the manufacturing of the airplanes into many, many different small workshops. So one small workshop would cost the cases for the engines, another one would build the wings, and another small workshop would build the wheels and so on. You get the picture.
Absolutely.
They were all separated over that town in Dessau. And when the American and British Air Force tried to bomb those, actually, most of the time, they hit something else, but not those workshops. And one of the air raids, it happened that one of the firebombs, which were filled with white phosphor, as some of your listeners may understand, white phosphor connected with oxygen ignites immediately. You don't need anything to ignite it. It just ignites when it gets oxygen. So one of those firebombs hit a small church, went through the roof, and exploded on the bottom of the floor. And that white phosphor spread out over the floor of the whole church and set the whole church on fire. Now, many of you may not know, but many of the German Lutheran churches have usually a huge cross in front of the church with a life-size Jesus figure carved out of wood on that cross, symbolizing the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That fire ate up everything in the church. Everything that was burnable burned out. But the fire stopped right underneath the feet of Jesus Christ on that cross. That gave me some chills at this time. But that was it.
I can only imagine. Let me ask you this. Being a part of the Communist Party, what took place if there were people that had dissent that said, you know, they didn't want to follow along? What took place during that time?
Oh, there were different things. For example, one of my co-students, which were with me at school, disappeared forever because when he celebrated his final degree as a painter with the company he was in trade school, they went into a restaurant and had a little bit too much drinks and then started to recite jokes about the leadership of East Germany. On the neighbor table, there were two Stasi officers in civil clothing, and they arrested him. And he was never seen again. 2 years later, his mother got a letter from the general enemy, which said something to the point that he died on a heart disease, and for national security reason, his graveyard cannot be discovered.
Tell the folks what the Stasi is, for those that might not know.
Yeah. Is every dictatorship needs to oppress those who disagree. And I think we will come to that point later, how that looks like here in the United States in the meantime. Every single dictatorship needs to oppress those who disagree, because even the slightest allowance of a disagreement voiced out in the public could stir up those who are in doubt of the rightness of that system. So you need a force. The Russians started with the KGB. It was earlier it was called the I forgot the name. But the Russians started with their version, and when East Germany was installed by the Russians after the victory of the Allies after the Second World War, the first thing they installed together with the Communist Party was the Department of State Security, or in German, Staatssicherheit. The abbreviation of that was Stasi. The Stasi was actually a combination of judiciary, executive, and police force in once.
So they could judge you, try you, and throw you away, all without a trial.
All without a judge. They had their own judges. As soon as someone was considered an enemy of the state, or the activities somebody did were considered a danger to the system, that was immediately a case for the Stasi. And nothing, no law, no lawyer, nothing could keep you out of their facilities until they decided you might be innocent.
Wow. You are listening here to My Story of America Radio. We are talking with Harold, who grew up in East Germany, was a card-carrying communist, and we're going to let him go ahead and continue on sharing what it is he grew up experiencing, what he went through. Harold, start to begin where you started to see the wrongdoings of the Communist Party. What kind of, you know, enlightened you?
Yeah, it was actually a very, at first, a very small thing, which I started to,
we have 3 minutes
to not only disagree, but to try to stop it from happening. As the youth leader in that region, I was automatically set up as the youth leader in our company, where I did the practice of my college degree as an electrical engineer. The people have to read my book to understand that the educational system for colleges in East Germany, or in Germany in general at this time, were totally different from that what you have here. It is a combination of theory and practice at the same time. A company would hire you and send you to college, and then every now and then you have to be at the company and you have to work that what you have learned in theory at the college. So I was the youth leader there. I was assigned to advise a group of team leaders in that company, which were called youth brigades. Those teams were formed and had only members which were born after the end of the Second World War. So they were sure that these people have never had an idea about a different system than the communist system in East Germany. And with that, it was almost assured that they would not criticize the system which was installed. So, and what they wanted to have is they wanted to install a system where every single phase of the life of the members of those work teams was public to the team, debated in the team, discussed in the team, and every single step of their life was decided as a team decision. So,
and let's pause right there for a minute, because I want the folks to think about that, how everything was a decision. As we get ready to go to break, you are listening to My Story of America Radio here on the Veritas Radio Network. We are talking to Harold, who grew up in East Germany as a communist, talking about how his whole life was manipulated, was prepared, planned by the state. No choices. The education system was put forth to you. If you went against them, you might just come up missing. So Harold's going to hang on the line with us. We're going to take a quick break. But this is important. This is My Story of America Radio here on the Veritas Radio Network. Radio the way it should be.
The stories are so good, you want to believe them, and you will. We now return you to Dr. Michael George's My Story of America on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
Tired
one
of
more
this
kiss, honey.
Dirty old city, and tired of too much work, and never enough play. And I'm tired of these dirty old sidewalks. Think I'll walk off my steady job today. Turn me loose, set me free. Somewhere in the middle of Montana. Now give me all I've got coming to me. Then keep your retirement and your so-called social security. Big city, turn me loose and set me free.
It's the truth that will set you free, and you won't find it oozing from a car radio. You're listening to Crusade on the Veritas Radio Network.